Thank you for joining Word of Life Church. And now, a message from Pastor Joel Sims.
I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Genesis. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 12. If you're joining us online, we're super excited to have you here with us as well. And I would ask that you maybe, if you're sitting, take a moment to pull out your Bible and open it up to the book of Genesis chapter 12 as well. My wife has three words that just really, they bless her. These words, every time she sees them, they just bless her. And it is the following: everything must go. Everything must go. And she walks into her favorite store and sees everything must go. It blesses her spirit like few things can. Like, woo, the Lord is just, I mean, she'd do a little shake, a little dance. Like, it's got to go. It's not just a sell. Like, it's a negotiable sell. Like, everything's got to go. And so she'll come home with things and be like, it had to go. Like, it had to go. I saved us money. I'm like, really? You saved us money? Like, they gave it away? Well, we had to pay a little bit for it, but it was on sell. Anybody like a good sell? Anyone? Yes, yes, like a good sell. Now, here's what we know, that there's a reason why they are putting everything on sell and why everything must go, and it's not just to bless your spirit. The reason why everything must go is they know the season has changed, and what is on the shelves is no longer profitable. So if they want to get the new stuff that is profitable on the shelves, all the old stuff that is unprofitable, it's got to go. Why don't you just say that with me? Say, it's got to go. It's got to go. Turn to your neighbor and tell them it's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to go. Go. They know as a store, if we want to grow, it's got to go. We can't keep it on the shelves and expect to stay in business. The season has changed. Not everyone's going to be buying Christmas trees in this season. So it's got to go if we want to grow. We are going to study this month the life of Abraham. We're in a new series entitled Stars and Sand, and we're super excited about it. When you exit, you'll be given a card that looks like this one. It has a reading plan on it for this week. You got to come back next week to get that reading plan for that week. But this reading plan, it's real simple. If you can read, you can go with the plan. And it's real easy. It's not a lot. It's just at the end of the month, you're going to read the life of Abraham, and you're going to see other scriptures in your Bible that refer to his life or bringing about the point that we're trying to emphasize that week. I want to encourage you to get that. And the reason why we are studying Abraham's life is when God saw Abraham, he saw a man that he could bless, and he saw a man that he could use. Now, I don't know about you, but I want, when God sees me, for him to look at Joel Sims and to say, I can bless him and I can use him because I can trust him. How many of you want to be the type of person that God can use? We got anybody in here? Yes. How many of you want to be the type of person that God can bless? Yes. I want to be that type of person. Now, your scriptures and mine are filled with lives of people that God used and God blessed, and they're not just there because of accident or happenstance. They're there because success leaves clues. We are supposed to study their lives, find out what they did, because God is not a respecter of persons, and if we do what they did, we can walk in what they walked in, because God will do for us exactly what he did for them. So we want to study Abraham's life and find out what in the world this man did. He's one of the most used people in all of Scripture. God actually used him to bless not only his family, and I don't know, that's big in my heart. And big for me, especially this year, I want God to use me to bless my family. I want God to use everything about me, my health, my energy, my habits. I want God to use me to bless my family. And in fact, this is one of the chief reasons why God did use Abraham. It's because when he saw Abraham, he knew he had a man who would think about the next generation. He knew he had a person who would say, I'm going to solve this in my life so they don't have to beat it in their lives. Come on, somebody. How many of you want to solve some things this year so that your kids don't have to solve it 10 years from now, 20 years from now? So Abraham is making this decision to walk with God, and we are too. And the first thing we're going to see in Abraham's life is something that I think is the central point in his life. If he does not follow through with this decision, I think the Bible stops with Abraham's life after Genesis 12 and verse 1. Like, verse number 1 has everything to do with all of the other verses you are going to read about Abraham's life this month. Let's look at it today. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out. It's got to go. Of your country and from your kindred, from your family, in other words, and especially on your father's side. Like, woo, woo. You got to get away from them. Unto a land that I will show you. I'm not going to show it to you yet, but I will show it to you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I want verses 2 and 3. Like, I want God to come to me and say, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, not just for yourself. You will be a blessing to your family. Like, you will change the course of your family. Now, I want verses 2 and 3, but there's no way I can have verses 2 and 3 if I don't do verse number 1. And in verse number 1, he tells him something. He says, look, you've got to make some changes, Abraham. What I want to do for you, I can't do for you in this current setting. You've got to make some adjustments. There are things that you see right now in your life. They have got to go. You have got to make changes in these areas. There are some things in your life that are unprofitable. Until those old unprofitable things leave, the new profitable things cannot come in. I was praying a couple of months ago, and it was just, you know, a normal prayer before a meeting with some of the staff. And as I was just praying and asking God to just give us wisdom and direction, I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to go further than that. Now, here's something you have to learn about the Holy Spirit, is you can't beat a river into submission. You just got to learn to flow with it. Like, a lot of times people want to hear from God, and it's like, they're trying to beat a river into submission. It doesn't work that way. You just got to flow with it. And so you don't know how or when God will lead you or guide you, but when you sense that pause, when you sense that that hesitation, that's the Holy Spirit's river. He's trying to guide you. He's trying to lead you. He's trying to speak with you. And in those moments, you just got to flow with the river. And so I sense that while I'm praying, like, God's not done yet. And I fully expect him to be done because we were eating lunch. I don't know if you've ever been hungry before. But anyway, so like, I just sense like I can't move on from this place. And so I just sit there and I wait, and we're all seated, and they're, you know, they're not expecting this. And the Spirit of God falls on me. And I begin to prophesy. Now, prophecy is just simply inspired utterance. It's not necessarily predicting the future. It's just you stop talking and God starts talking. And I had no doubt in this moment that God was talking to me and God was talking to us and God was talking about 2019. And what God spoke to us that day, I immediately wrote it down, typed it into my phone, was the following, that 2019 would be a year of new graces, new places, and new faces. New graces, new places, and new faces. new faces, I think that there will be some new relationships in your life. Like for some of you, this could be your year, man. This could be your, all the single ladies, put your hands up. No, I'm kidding. Let's get it started. This is the year. All you single men, ask someone out. Work up the courage. This is the year, new faces. But no, in all seriousness, I really felt like this would be a year where there's some new faces that come into your life. Like some new relationships, maybe it's a new place of employment and there's new faces there. Or maybe it's a new neighborhood and there's new faces there. Maybe it's new friendships, I don't know, but new faces. But not just new faces here, I genuinely feel like by the end of this year, it'll be a new face here. That your face will change. That this will be a year where not only does the something in life change, but you change. Like there's something about you at the end of this year that will be fundamentally different than the you we see right now. You'll have a new face. I felt like for many people that this would be a season of new places, like physically new places, like there's a new job or there's a new neighborhood or there's a new apartment or there's a new city or a new something. Like this would be a year of new places. And lastly, I felt like this would be a year of new graces. Now, grace is just simply the quality of God that makes life easier. I don't know about you, I'll take life getting easier any old day of the week. Like, grace, when it hits my life, it's God's push. Faith can kind of like maneuver some things, but grace begins to push you. And when God's grace hits you, it just makes progress easier. When something is graced, it just means seeing progress in that area. It's just easier, and I felt like this would be a year of new graces. Now, of course, when we hear that, that sounds like, whoa, amazing, and it is amazing. Like, all those new things are super fun and super exciting, and I sensed that even while I was praying. It's like, new stuff, yes, yes, amazing. Like, who doesn't like new? But the more I began to pray and the more I began to speak underneath what I consider to be the Spirit of God, the more I began to get emotional. Because I also felt like for there to be new, there had to be death first. And I believe in all three of those areas, there is a death that is coming to those things. That before God can give us the new, profitable things, he has to clear out the old, unprofitable things. That there are some of you who have faces in your life, they're not profitable. And it's time for them to go, and God is, and it could be just a season. Doesn't even necessarily mean they're bad people. It could just be in this season, like, they're a weight now. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us this. Don't let me forget where I'm at. Hebrews chapter 12 says this. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily does beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, if you can go back up to the first part of that, notice he says we have to lay aside every weight and sin. So he says you have two types of things. You have sin and you have weight. So sin is when I miss the mark. It's like, I knew I missed it there. And he says, of course, you guys need to lay that down. But weight is something entirely different. Weight is not sin. Somebody says, well, what's weight? A couple of years ago, I got in a workout program, and I lost like 30 some odd pounds on this workout program in like 3 months. I mean, it was crazy. It's like one of those boot camps. It's like, how are you going to torture me today type thing. It's like, I didn't know you could do that with a rope. Like, I thought you could only do so much with a field. And no, every day it's some type of new way to torture me. And so, like, I'm out there, and at the end of it, I've lost like 30 some odd pounds. So the last week, they put a weighted vest on me that was weighted to the poundage that I had lost. So I started out the workout that year with that weight on me, but I had lost that weight, and now I've gained it back in this vest that was put on me. And you know what I found? It took energy from me. It took life from me. It took mobility for me. Here's a good word. It drained me, and I could not wait to take that thing off. And there's some things in your life that are draining you. The place you're in it is draining you. The faces that are around you, they are draining you. The grace is gone. Work is draining. There's no grace for it. Why? It's an old grace, and it's got to go. And somebody says, well, I don't understand why it has to go, and isn't it sad? Yes, it could be incredibly sad, but here's what I do know. If I don't get rid of the old, I can't walk in the new. I love Christmas, man. I love some Christmas. I love this Christmas. Did anybody else just have a good Christmas? Five people. Well, for the five of you who had a great Christmas, I had a great one. For the other 2,000 of you, I don't know what happened. I'm sorry. I'll pray for you. But as much as I love that season, it's over. It's absolutely over. And can you imagine a store that wanted to just keep nothing but Christmas in their store? What would happen to the store? The grace for that season is gone. And there are things in our lives, like we're holding on to it because it's comfortable, because it's familiar, and because we really like it. But if we've been honest, the grace for that thing ran out 6 months ago. Maybe if you're being real honest, the grace for that thing ran out like 4 years ago. And it has drained you. And you know it's draining. It's not adding life. It's not adding energy. It's not adding profit. It is unprofitable. And this is a year where it's got to die. And here's what I felt like. If we don't confront it, it will confront us. If we don't confront it this year, it will confront us. And what I want is I want a preemptive strike, because I'd much rather hit the enemy on his territory than him hit me on mine. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, here's what I know. If you feel that, you feel that. I don't even have to preach to you. Like, you know that there's some people, it just changed. It changed. There's some situations, it just changed. There's some graces, it just changed. And in Abraham's life, God comes to him and he's like, look, I know it's comfortable here. I know this is all you've ever known. I know everything's great here, but it's got to go. Everything must go. And what if God would have looked up, or Abraham would have looked up at God and said, you know what? I get it. I sense the leading. Oh, but no, it's too comfortable. No, it's just too familiar. No, it's just so safe. Like, it's just safe. Like, why would I've had this same group of whatever for 12 years. Like, it's just safe. It's just who I am. And God is like, exactly, I'm trying to give you a new face. I'm trying to not let the past define you. I have a new level. I have a new grace. I have a new place. I have a new face. And if you're not willing to let go of the old Abraham, I can't give you verses 2 and 3 if you don't give me verse 1. And what I want in my life this year, and what I'm praying and asking God for you, is the wisdom to see in your life what in verse 1 for you needs to go. What needs to go? In Abraham's life, he makes a decision. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. But watch what happens to him in verse number 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Awesome. He's making the adjustment. And Lot went with him. So he didn't take Lot with him. Lot just held on to him. Have you ever wanted to change, but something was just holding on to you? You weren't holding on to it, but it was holding on to you. And it's like, I know I need to separate from you, but it just kept holding on to you. And if it was going to go, you were going to have to cut it off with intentionality. Because just saying I'm going to walk away wasn't enough. You didn't bring it with you, it just came along. And Lot is part of the family that God said, I need you to separate from Abraham. And Abraham tries to walk away, but Lot just keeps going with him. And for a while, you know what happens? I love this about God. Oh, he's filled with grace. You need to know this about your father. He is absolutely in love with you and is amazing in every way. And for the next couple of verses after this, with a not full disobedience, just a
just a little bit of disobedience in Lot's life, in Abraham's life, by holding on to Lot. You know what God does? He doesn't say, I'm done with you. You are on your own. You know what he does? He says, I'll bless you as far as I can. And he does. You read his story for the next couple of verses. God blesses Abraham as much as he can. And verse after verse, it's getting better and it's getting better and it's getting better. But finally, Abraham reaches a plateau where he hasn't seen life get any better. In fact, not only is life not getting better, it's getting a little worse. There's all this strife that's coming up. Lot is draining him. Lot's herdsmen, they're draining Abraham's herdsmen. And at work, there's tension. In family, there's tension. You know why? The grace for that had run out. And finally, Abraham just has this come to Jesus moment where he's like, I'm being honest with myself. I'm being honest with God. Life has plateaued, and it might even be getting a little worse. I've got to confront the thing that God asked me to confront a long time ago. And watch what happens here in Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray you, between me and you, between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we're brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Notice, key words, separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. What needs to be separated from you in 2019? Abram comes to Lot and he's like, look, I've taken this as far as I can take this. And I know there's been strife and I know there's been some highs and some lows, but I know in my knower, if that makes sense, like I know the season for this is over. And Lot, I'm telling you what I should have told you a long time ago, Lot, it's time for us to separate. Lot goes his way. Abraham goes his way. And watch what happens in verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. You can underline that, highlight it, check it, cut and paste on your phone, whatever it is you do, man. After that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look unto the place where you are. Look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. For all the land which you see, to thee I will give it, to you and your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, and he will be able to number your seed. Arise and walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. Notice verse 14 again. The Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, now lift up your eyes. There were some things in Abraham's life that God was waiting to get Abraham into. And it wasn't coming because God didn't want it to come. He was waiting for Lot to be out of Abraham's life. And as long as Lot was in Abraham's life, there were some things that God wanted to do for Abraham, but he simply would not do as long as Lot was still there. The most valuable thing I own, like it's they ask, like if your house was on fire, what would you run in and get? The most valuable thing I own is my father's journal. He only made one journal entry, and it was 2 weeks before he passed away. No one ever knew he kept one. And one day I was going through my father's office, and I was looking for a book to help me write a message. And so I'm kind of scanning all the books, and they're on this bookshelf, so you know you can see the author and the title of the book. And I come across this one that was just leather bound. There was nothing on the cover, on that side that was, you know, sticking out. And I'm like, I've never seen this one before. And I pull it out, and on the front it has the word journal on it. I'm like, my dad kept a journal? Like, he wasn't that guy. Like some people, it's like, yeah, you're a journal guy. For others, it's like, yeah, no, probably not. But with this, like, I never pictured him to be like a journal guy. But come to find out, he was, at least for one particular day in his life, which was 2 weeks before he went home to be with the Lord. He writes at the start of that journal, I've never been a journal guy, and I've never kept a journal before. But he says, the Lord's been speaking to my heart about some things and I felt impressed to write them down. It is, kid you not, I could get emotional talking about it, the most valuable thing, natural possession that I own. And he's writing in this book about a new season in his life. He can tell at this point he had bought this property. He had cleared it out. He had put in the pavement, the parking lot, all these types of things. And he knew a new season was around the corner. And it was going to be bigger than any season he had ever had before. And I'm telling you, we're in that stage right now. I don't know if 2019 will be the full breadth of it, but I believe there are things that are starting in the earth. There are things that are starting in the earth this year that'll pave the way for the next couple of years, but you gotta start it now. You know, a lot of times when people get words, it's always great. It's always like, amazing, this year's gonna be spectacular. But anytime I ever read the prophets in the Old Testament, it wasn't always that way. And by no stretch of the imagination am I saying that this is going to be anything other than an amazing year. But what I am saying is there are things in our life that we need to confront and they need to die. And if we don't confront them, they will at some point this year or in years following, they will confront us. And for my father, he knew this new great season is on the horizon of time, but I have something old in my life that needs to die. And he referenced Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 13, how Abraham just could not get rid of Lot. And he had all, I'm sure, the logical reasons as to why he can't. It's family, he needs me, what's gonna happen to him? It's the same logic that they use with Jonah. Like, we can't cast him over. Who humanely just casts somebody over? And I know I said this a couple of weeks ago, but what they didn't see was God had a plan for Jonah too. Like as long as they were keeping Jonah on the boat, they were keeping Jonah from the plan God had for him. And sometimes you can't be afraid to give somebody that separation because that separation actually frees them up to walk in what God had for them too that they never would have got in had they stayed connected to you. And he starts penning this in his journal. I know I have some lots in life. I know I have some things I need to get rid of. I know I have some things I need to purge. And before I can walk in this new, I've got to get rid of this old. He wrote this statement. He said, after Lot was separated from Abraham, God spoke to him about greater things. Then he said this, it's the lots in life that keep us from the big things of God. It's the lots in life that keep us from the big things of God. God blessed Abraham as much as he could with Lot in his life. But after Abraham separated himself from Lot, after he had that moment of separation, after he pruned Lot out of his life, that's when God spoke to Abraham about greater things than ever before and took his life to the next level. What's your lot? What's your lot? For the next 21 days here at Word of Life Church, and you're going to see it on the card when you exit. Not today, it starts tomorrow. For the next 21 days here, we are going to call for a fast. Amazing the excitement in the room right now. Like, woo! Woo! Somebody says, what do you mean we're going to call for a fast? I am not saying it has to be a food fast or has to be a fast where you only drink water. Here's what I am saying. There are people, everybody, not there are people, everybody in the room, me included, has lots that have followed us. And we are on this journey of obedience, of like selling out to God. And some of you are further along on that journey than others. And some of you have walked with God for like 20 years. And some of you, like, you're still making that decision whether or not you'll walk for God, like, and live for him. But we're all in those moments where some of us have begun to step in that journey. And some of us have been walking like Abraham for years. But we have lots that came with us. And we didn't even ask them to come. They just came. And you know by the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you, because if you're a born-again child of God, his Spirit bears witness with your spirit, You know that there is an inner stirring in your heart right now. And for some of you, it's been there for 6 months. For some of you, it's been there for years, where something has got to change here. Something about this relationship, something about this health, something about how I'm using my time, something about this addiction, something about this, it has got to change. And the reason why God is asking for it, it's not because he's mean, it's because he loves you. He is the vine dresser. You are the branch. And in connecting to him, you know what he does? He comes and he says, I know every one of you are interested in producing fruit. And he says, you know what? I am too. I want everybody to produce much fruit. He says, you know how we're going to do it? He says, as your vine dresser, I know I've got to prune anything in your life that is not producing fruit to free up life, where the life that was going to that branch that wasn't producing any fruit is now going to the branch that is, so that the fruit on that branch can get bigger and richer and fuller than ever before. And what I want you to do this year for the next 21 days is to confront any branch in your life that is unprofitable. Any branch in your life that can bring no deliverance. In the Old Testament, they ask this question in the book of Samuel. They'll put it up on the screens. 1 Samuel. I'll put it, there we go. He said, and turn ye not aside for them, and go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. Here's what he's asking. Why would you give time, attention, and energy to things that could not profit or deliver? That's a good question, isn't it? Why would you give time and attention to things that cannot profit or deliver? And I know for me, especially when the new update came out on the iPhone that showed you screen time, it was anyone else shocked by like how much? Yes, I see a couple of honest people. And you're like, what? Like what? My screen time? Like what? I spent that much time on something that could not profit nor deliver. What if for the next 21 days we cut out any food that could not profit or deliver? What if for the next 21 days we cut out any app that could not profit or deliver? What if for the next 21 days we cut out any video game that could not profit? Yeah, I doubt any of them can profit or deliver. What if for the next 21 days we cut out any relationship that could not profit or deliver? What if for the next 21 days we cut out anything with our time that could not profit or deliver? And to point the life that was going towards those things to things that can profit and deliver. What if for the next 21 days you exchange the secular for the sacred? What if you said for the next 21 days we're going to cut out any secular music and we're going to listen to worship music? Something that can profit and deliver. What if for the next 21 days you pulled your family together and said, look, the times that we were spending on all this, we're gonna spend as family time. Because you start cutting out all that stuff, you know what you're gonna feel? You know what you're gonna feel? Bored. You're gonna feel bored. You know what that is? Life. It's like, I've gotta take this somewhere. At which point God would say, exactly. All that life that's been going to those other things, what if you could point that towards prayer? What if you could point that towards worship? What if you could point that to reading the New Testament by the end of the 21 days? What if you could point that over to something in your life that could produce fruit? I'm not talking about for a year. 21 days, everybody can do it for 21 days. Now here's what I want. At the end of 21 days, I think some of you can say, you know what, I can live without that. Over the next 21 days, I think some of you will kill off some things that have been hanging on around you for years. Over the next 21 days, I think guidance and wisdom will come on changes that God is making in your life, that had he not showed that to you in this season, it would have set you back for years because you didn't see it coming. But because you saw it coming in this season, you were ready for it. Your soul was ready for it. And you were ready to embrace the new and not just mourn over the death of the old. For the next 21 days, I believe direction will come. Guidance will come. I believe families will get stronger. I believe bodies will get healthier. For the next 21 days, I think we will come to life like we have never come to life before. At the end of 21 days, I think that there are things in our lives that have gotten out of order that get put back in their proper place when we reintroduce them into our diets, into our entertainment, into our eyes. But it's time we confront Lot. Everything must go. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these amazing people and the opportunity to speak this word unto them. I could feel even in this service, Father, your Holy Spirit just speaking. And I thank you that he does not stop after this service is over, but all throughout the next couple of hours, he just leads us and guides us into any area of our life that we need to write down on that card of something we will fast for the next 21 days. I thank you, Father, for your grace and your wisdom and your spirit showing us what those things are. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, in Hebrews chapter 12, we saw how we've got to lay down the weights. That's what the message is about. But it also talks about laying down the sin. And I know if you're like me, you're not perfect, right? Like we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory and the goodness of God. There's not a person in this room who could cast a stone. There's not a person in this room that could judge someone else because all we are like sheep and we have gone astray. The only difference between some of us and the rest of us is we've come home. It's not that we don't stray, it's that we've come home. And some of you, that's the step you need to take today. You just need to come home. You just need to come home. You know you're far from the flock. You can feel it in your soul. You can feel it in your body. You can feel it in just the spirit that's resting on you. You know, like, I need to come back to Jesus. And here's the amazing thing. When you come back, oh, he doesn't judge you. When you come back, he doesn't say, where have you been? He doesn't shame you. When you come back, he forgives you. He loves you. He holds you. He embraces you. He picks you up and dusts you off. And right now, this is a safe space. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. There's no one looking around. And if you're here and you say, Pastor Joel, I need Jesus today. I need to come home to Jesus. All I'm going to ask you to do is this next step. This is it. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Would you just lift up your hand all over this place? That's you. Hands going up all over the room. All over the room in every section. In the balcony, hands going up. On the sides, hands going up. Amazing. Amazing, amazing. Anybody else? We'll wait on you. We'll wait on you. Amazing. Now, everybody in here, let's just all lift up our hands and let's just come to a place of surrender. Just say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I thank you for your mercy, for your grace. All my mistakes, they're washed away. I'm not my mistakes. I am your child. Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. And today, Father, I offer my life as a living sacrifice. I will lay aside every weight and every sin that has beset me. All the lots in my life, they can no longer follow me. I confront them. And by your grace, this is the year. This is the year. This is the year I walk in freedom, because whom the Son sets free, by your grace, Father, is free indeed. This is the beginning of the best days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's celebrate everyone who made this decision.